laughing because I thought, you know, Brother Kevin and I just enjoyed that last song right there. I don't know if you caught it, but I caught it. Brother Andrew knows that I caught it. The most annoying piece of that song when you are leading, I don't know if it matters if you're playing because I don't do that, but the most annoying part is that it changes timing right there in the middle of the chorus for just one little bar. It goes from 3-4 to 4-4, and if you aren't paying attention, your arms do not do anything that they are supposed to do. And praise the Lord, I found out Andrew is human because he wasn't ready for it. And he noticed it just a half a beat too late, and he was kind of everywhere for just, and I lost it. I was like, yes, Brother Kevin and I mess up far more than Brother Andrew does when we lead singing. And I thought he would enjoy knowing Brother Andrew is not perfect either. Amen. All right. Joshua chapter 4. Every time I lead that, I was like, I don't like that spot. I don't know what happened there. I don't know why they would do that to me, but there are certain songs. What's the other one? Is that Christ Returneth that does that or something like that? It always messes with the timing in the middle of the song. Just, if you're not paying attention, it really messes you up, and then you got to try and figure out what you did wrong, and then you just backpedal. But it was good. That was a blessing to me, Brother Andrew. It wasn't to you, but it was to me. It was very wonderfully comforting. Amen. So, really, it's encouraging to Brother Kevin because he's got to lead singing all the second half of this week, and he's nervous always. I know he is because I get nervous when I lead, so I'm sure he is. And so now you know. See, it's fine. Nobody else noticed. I'll make fun of you behind you. I won't do this to you. I would only do this to Brother Andrew. Joshua chapter 4, I hope you're there. Verse number 1, Joshua chapter 4 and verse 1. If you were at teen camp, we just read this passage, and I'm actually preaching this slightly on purpose because of that. Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 1, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people of every tribe a man, and command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off from before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them onto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And so I'm going to stop right there. This, of course, is the children of Israel, right? They've come up to the land once before with Moses, and Moses sends in the spies, you know, how all that goes. And so they, of course, get afraid, and they don't go in, and so they end up wandering in the wilderness, and they loop back around, and they get done. And 40 years after they got out of the land of Egypt, they come back right to the borders again, and here they are, and they're going to cross the River Jordan. And Joshua is going to lead them in now. He's going to come in, and of course they're going to cross this river, and then they're going to take Jericho, and then all the things that transpire as they take the land. And Joshua's here, and he's coming in, and we heard a message out of this passage at teen camp, and I love the guy who preached it. If you were at teen camp, you know who it was. I'm not taking pop shots at another preacher, all right? That's not what I mean. But I heard the message mostly. I did step out for part of that with the kids, but I didn't follow it very well. And I didn't follow it well because you see here the command is a whole lot different than the way they talked about it. And I want you to see some things here, and you're going to hear some differences. And the teenagers, now, this is difficult because what you get into is good preaching isn't good doctrine all the time. So you can preach a really good point, but it's not real sound perfectly in doctrine. That happens repeatedly. But then you look at some things and you find out that they don't really match the text. So now you're in trouble there. And that's kind of where I'm coming from on some of this. The message that we heard at teen camp sounded a lot like a whole lot of works to go ahead and endure and make yourself into something and to build up. And it's just, it was a little strange to me. And it sounded more like a issue of what can I do and how can I do it? And if I do it, it'll be great. And not that that necessarily is the way he preaches. So that's why I was kind of a little odd on that message in particular. And I don't want somebody coming away and thinking that that is the way that it's supposed to be. That if you're not tough enough in the faith, which is what it was described as, if you're not tough enough and strong enough to pick up a big enough rock, then you are going to look worse than everybody else. That is not God's economy. And I'm going to show it to you right here. And I didn't like that image right there. That image was what I felt was portrayed, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I didn't see it the way, or maybe he didn't say it quite the way that I was thinking he was saying it. I'll be honest, I missed pieces of the message, and so maybe I missed something in there, but the way that I saw it was, if your dad didn't pick up a big enough rock, it's embarrassing. And that's the way it sounded like to me. And that's the problem. The problem is that makes it about you and not about the Lord. And so we're going to look at this passage, and I already have a message out of this passage. This is going to be very different from that one. And we're going to look at this passage, and I'm going to actually encourage you instead with this idea of pick up just one more stone. And you're going to find out what that means, and it's not necessarily just from this spot right here. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and I'm going to pray that I preach this with the right spirit, the right mindset, and I hope you understand where I'm coming from. Father, I thank you for the night, and I thank you once again, Lord, what a wonder it is to have a God that could save to the uttermost, and what a God we have, and Father, that you paid it all, and all to him I owe, and Lord, we owe you everything we've got, and Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, as we look at the passage, Father, to see exactly what Joshua commanded these men to do, and to see how God worked in their lives, and how they worked for a wonderful God who has gone ahead and delivered them out of the land of Egypt, and has brought them into a land of promise. What a great God we have, and I pray you'd help us, Lord, to go ahead and get one more stone and carry another one. And Father, do one more thing for you before we hear a trumpet sound. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I will say this before I keep going as well. The dangers of going to any meeting is you have no idea what you're going to hear, all right? And that's not a bad thing all the time. Especially we've got myself, I was there, Pastor Thomas, Brother James was there for part of it, Brother Dave was there. If we hear something strange, we address it. That's always the case. There's not a spot where I have gone to Youth Ablaze, which is a place where, very rarely do you hear a bad message at Youth Ablaze. But if you were in my youth group when I was basically running the youth and running the teens, I went in on a Friday night after Youth Ablaze because some guy got up and said this wonderful phrase. I can't believe preachers do this. It's so ridiculous. The guy literally said this. If I walked in here in a tube top and a mini skirt, you would all be ashamed. And I thought, if you walked in here in a full-length dress, sir, I would be ashamed. Right? He decided he wanted to take the Nazarite vow and go ahead and preach standards. That's what he did. And so I destroyed that idea really quickly on Friday so my teens would understand, guess what, morality and standards and all those pieces, pride and having modesty is more about just sinfulness of pride and attention than it is about anything else. You can go ahead and wear all the right things and still be immodest, just for the record. But anyways, I can't preach on that. But that's the danger of going to a meeting. The danger of going to a meeting is you may hear something that you go, that seems weird, right? And so I heard that, and I heard some weird out of this passage right here. So I'm going to go ahead and kind of clear some things up, but I also think it'll be a great help to everybody who's here. It's not just about the teenagers on this. I think this is a great idea and a great thought. Notice, first of all, right, we have them. Here they are. They're coming to the River Jordan. They're going to cross. They're going to go into the land. And he goes ahead and he says, hey, Joshua, the Lord looks at Joshua. He says, hey, I need 12 men, one from every tribe, right? I need 12 guys to go ahead and they're going to do one particular job for me. Right? When the water parts, when the ark goes in and the priest walks in there and the water is stayed and it comes up as a wall, it's going to stop and they won't keep flowing. It'll stop. And then where they stop in the middle of the river, there's going to be these stones that are going to be down there. And I need 12 guys to grab those 12 stones that I've got laid out for them, and they're going to carry them across, and wherever you lodge tonight, that's where we're going to put them, and we're going to set them up as a memorial right there where they end up. And so you find this phrase right here that shows up, and this was great, a great start to the message. He said in verse number 4, "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man." There was some preparation that was done. Now, I think this is pretty great. The greatness of the preparation and the preparedness that these guys have. Now, it's odd because the statement is, well, are you prepared? And, well, what's the job? Walk into a river and go get 12 rocks. You really think that that was the plan that Joshua had in mind when he was getting these guys ready? Who thinks that the Lord's going to be like, hey, I need 12 guys to carry some big rocks, right? There's no preparation on that side. This is all a spiritual attitude of preparation. Look back at Numbers chapter 13. Now, I could be wrong. I don't see another spot where God particularly asks Moses or Joshua as they're getting ready to go in to choose 12 men and from every tribe get one guy for me. Except for Numbers chapter 13 and Joshua chapter 4. Interestingly, back there in Numbers chapter 13, Joshua is one of the 12 that gets chosen, right? And what happens, and we're not going to read it all, but he says here in verse number 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give the children of unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the command of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." And then he lists them, and out they come, and these 12 guys that come out, and he's going to send them into the land, and they're going to spy out the land. And we all know what happens, right? The 10 guys come back and say, "This place, we're gonna die. The giants are terrible." And the other two guys are like, "No, we're well able. We can take it. Let's do this." Right? Say, what was the problem? Joshua remembered back here. And when he looked back there, he went, "We grabbed 12 guys, and they weren't ready to go in and do what God told them to do. We wanted 12 guys. The Lord commanded for 12 guys, and Moses had 2 guys that were prepared and 10 guys who were unprepared for what they were about to see." Caleb and Joshua were prepared to see what they were about to see. They walked into the land. They said, "Yep, it is everything God said it is. And of course, there's giants in there. But who cares? We're well able. We've got God." So, well, what's that tell you? That tells me that being prepared is more about who I have with me and my walk with Him than whatever the job is. Nobody's predicting that when we got to the Jordan River, God was going to ask for 12 guys to go in there and grab 12 rocks and carry them across. No, God had it. You know what Joshua had in mind? He might make us spy out the land again. He may have us send 12 guys in. And how does he have 12 guys prepared before we get there? Almost like he's thinking, all right, well, if I have to choose out of that tribe, I'm grabbing this guy. He's got 12 guys, you know, kind of like 12 disciples. And he goes, "I've got you guys with me, and you know what we're going to do? I'm going to teach you what it means to walk with God, because when you walk in there, you're going to find giants. And when you find giants, I don't want you coming back scared and messing everybody else up. Like what happened the last time we got over here. The last time we got to the brink of the land, the last time we got over here, Moses chose 12 guys, 10 were bad and 2 were good, and the only 2 guys that are good are left standing there looking at a land, and they're about to walk back in, and they go, we're not doing this twice, fellas. I'm not wandering around for another 40 years before God lets me in. I'm not coming in at 120. That's what they'd be, right? He goes, we're 80 already. I'm not going to 120 before I get the promises God wanted for me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get some men ready. Whatever the task is, we're ready for it because we know the God that we have. The preparation that must take place in our lives so we can do the task God wants us to do is to prepare our walk with God before we ever get to the Jordan. Before we ever get to the task we're looking at, before we ever go ahead, you know what he wasn't doing? He wasn't over there going, all right, guys, we got to get to the gym so we can lift weights so we can be ready to pick up some rocks. That wasn't the task. The task was, how's your walk with God? How's your strength in Him? How's your reliance on Him? How's your prayer life? How's your reading? How's your studying? How's your growth? How's your witness? How is your faith going? Are you trusting Him or are you still trusting in what you see and how you walk? Because if we trust in what we know, we're in trouble. If we start walking by faith instead of by sight, you say, what's he trying to do? He's preparing these guys to understand. Guess what? We walk by faith and not by sight. God promised these things. You know what he's drilling into them? The promises. The promises that I'll never leave thee nor forsake. The promises that, hey, guess what? When you go in there, I'll fight for you. When you get into that land, I'm going to be there. When you go in, I am mightier than they are. When you go in, I can wipe out the armies of Egypt, let alone the armies of whatever giants you face. He's drilling into them over and over again the greatness of God and the power of God and the might. He is preparing them because he understands the last time we got here, we didn't go in because people weren't ready. And the last thing I'm going to do is have God ask me for 12 guys and have 10 of them not be ready again. Are you ready? Well, I don't know what God's going to ask me to do. That doesn't matter. Who would have thought he'd be like, all right, I need the first task we're going to go with is pick up 12 big rocks, put them on your shoulder, carry them out. Yeah. What? Okay. Joshua looked at these 12 guys and he said, okay, guys, we got the job now. We've been getting ready for a while here. We're getting ready. We're coming up to the brink of the Jordan. We're going to go in. They're like, oh, are we going to go in and spy? Nope. You know, sometimes the task we're going to look at, the task that you have is not the normal task you thought it would be. Sometimes we want the task to be straightforward and we already knew what was coming. But sometimes the Lord goes, that's not what I want. Well, I thought you wanted this great thing. And the Lord says, I don't want that. I just want you to go ahead and pick up a rock and just throw it on your shoulder and carry it across for me. That doesn't seem like a whole lot, but boy, that task is pretty important to what the Lord's about to do. This is preparatory for what God is going to do in a future, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But the task at hand, see, the preparation is there because the task could be anything. If God wants you to be a missionary, could you go? If God wanted you to just go ahead and stay here and just keep working, but go ahead and be a witness at work, go ahead and be a witness at school, go ahead and be a witness. What can I do right now? Where can I go? Maybe it's just really simple. He just asked you to pick up some rocks. Maybe it's just real simple and he just wants you to do and raise a family that loves God. Maybe he just wants you to be faithfully committed to going and just showing up at church on Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Maybe that's all he's asking right now. Maybe the task is awfully simple today. Maybe it's not glamorous and it's not amazing. And it's not something so high and mighty that you go, boy, I wish I could. Maybe it is just grab a rock, put it on your shoulder, and carry it until we're done moving for the day. That's the job. Look back at Joshua chapter 4. The task at hand, this is a pretty, it's a simple task, but this is kind of a cool task in my mind. I don't know why I like it so much, but I do. The priests have the amazing job, right? They're going to start walking and they've got the staves and they're carrying the ark, right? The four guys are on the corners of the ark and they're carrying it out there. And they're supposed to, as soon as they kind of start stepping into the water's supposed to just stop flowing right next to them. right? And as they get out, and as soon as they hit the middle of the water, everything stopped. Like the Lord just walls it right here. And everything just dead stopped. They've got a cool job, right? They just kind of start walking and the water just kind of comes up next to them. And the Lord just says, hang on, I'm just going to hold all that right here. And then they get into the middle and they get to the midst of Jordan and everything stopped and they're waiting and they're standing there. They've got an awesome job. And then these 12 guys come walking out behind them. And he says, all right, you're going to find 12 stones at the bottom of that place. Pick one up. Now, I don't know if there were only 12. I don't know if the Lord kind of laid it out so that there were just 12 in the area. But we know that there's a very limited area that they get to choose from. Right? It's the place where the priest's feet are. So it must be around this very small area of where the Ark of the Covenant would have been held. And so he goes ahead. So we're not talking like you get 60 options, right? I mean, you've only got like a small area. You say, well, I want a bigger rock than everybody else. This is where I get a little about this idea. All you get is what God asked you to get. Who decides how big the rock is? Well, the Lord did. There's not that many to choose from. Now, it's supposed to be big enough that you have to pick it up and put it on your shoulder. So obviously, you're not grabbing a pebble up out of the, right? You're not grabbing the little one, right? You're not like, oh, right? But you're not impressing anybody by what you picked up because they're all probably about the same size. Because the task was just simply, hey, grab a rock. And the first guy walks over and he just reaches down and he gets that thing up and he picks it up and he just starts walking. And the next guy does the same, and the next guy does the same, and the next guy does the same. And let's say the first guy grabbed the huge rock, and you're the last guy, and you got the littlest rock on the pile. But you do realize that you can only grab the rock that's there. If anybody's ever done any work with Dave Aukmoody, I love working with Dave. You say, why? Because he always grabs the biggest rock. That's what he does. And then you don't have to really do anything. You kind of stand there and act like you're moving it. You're like, oh yeah, Dave, I'm helping you out. It's always just how it is with Dave, right? So if Dave was the front guy, and then Brother James was right behind him, and Brother Donnie was right behind him, and you get some of these guys in here, and you're like, yeah, if I were 4, 5, or 6, they probably did grab the big rock. And now I get to grab a rock that I actually can carry. Amen? Right? And you just go ahead and you pick up. You say, what do? You grab what you grab. It's almost luck of the draw at that point. You're not really sure what you're getting. It's probably half buried in the dirt anyways. You know, we're from upstate New York, all right? We got rocks, right? You ever think that there's a rock that's one size? Right up until you're digging a trench, the side, right? Your gaping hole, that giant rock that's in the back that all the kids love to play on. Nobody thought that was that big when we started trying to get that out from underneath this plate. Nobody thought it was that big. And all of a sudden you start looking. Could you imagine being the guy who accidentally tries to pick up that? He's like, oh, I got to choose another one, guys. Right? You say, what do you get? You do the task God gave you. And it doesn't matter if it's big or small. It's your task that God gave you. It's the word. We understand very quickly, if you haven't grown much and you're not old, physical, you aren't picking up a rock the same size as what Brother Aukmoody is picking up or Brother James is picking up, or one of the guys in here. Right? We're not picking up monster stones. If you can't bench press your own weight, you're not doing that. I don't expect Uriah to pick up a rock that I pick up, right? That's the idea. And these guys come over and you say, what are they going to do? They're going to grab whatever's there. How many of you have love? I know we all love helping each other move. That's like the best, right? That's probably the only reason I own a truck, is so that I can help everybody move. Right? We help people move. And you say, what happens as you're moving stuff? Every once in a while, you're not the guy picking up all the heavy stuff at some points, right? Amen. Two guys grabbed it, and they grabbed the big thing, and you're like, I guess I'll grab this box. I got to do something at least, right? So you grab the little box because that's all you. Everything else takes two people, so I guess I'll just grab the boxes and I'll just carry those. And it doesn't take you much. You say, well, were you any less involved in the move? Well, no, you moved. You took something from one spot to another spot. You were helping out. You were doing what you could. If you can't, you know, then you don't. And sometimes we feel weird because we're like, I feel like I'm not doing anything. Because I'm waiting for somebody else to come and help me do the job that needs to be done that way. These 12 guys, they walk down into that river and they get down to the bottom. And one guy grabs a rock and the next guy grabs a rock and the next guy grabs a rock. By the time you get to number 12, you know what he's doing? He's grabbing whatever rock's left. Hey, what's my task? Sometimes it's what's ever left. Sometimes it's just, hey, I just got to clean up whatever's left and I'll take care of that and we'll be on our way. Praise the Lord for the last guy to clean up. Amen. Praise the Lord that there's somebody that just goes, hey, I don't need a huge rock. I don't need notoriety. I don't need the big stuff. All I need to do is do what God asked me to do. He asked me to come last, so I'm going to go ahead and I'll just clean up. Prepared to do whatever the task is. That's the preparation. The preparation is preparation to do whatever is asked of me. Availability. Availability and willing. Just ready to do whatever I need to do, and if that's what it takes, I can do that. What do you need? Okay, well, I can do that. Okay, not hard, not difficult. By the way, they take it all the way to Gilgal. You can get that in verse number 19 if you wanted to keep reading. You'd see it down there in verse number 19, verse 20. They take it to Gilgal, and that, by the way, is where it stays. They don't carry that rock everywhere they go. It stays at Gilgal. And it's designed. The reason it is there, so they're ready to go. They're prepared to do this task because ultimately what God wants is a memorial. He wants something remembered about the task that was done that day. You know, we all went out to, you know, that got to go out. We all got to go out to visit to Harborfest Blitz yesterday, and we got cool story. Anytime you go out street preaching, anytime you go out on witnessing, anytime you do that, we did the Bible handouts, right? Anytime you get to do all that stuff, you know what you end up with? If you got to do it and you got involved and you were there, a lot of times, you know what you get? You get a wonderful story. You get something to talk about. Say, what was that? I just got to do the task for the day. Hey, I got to talk to so-and-so at street ministry. I got to do this. I got to witness while I was at work. I got to talk to somebody. I got to do this. I got the chance to be able to lead somebody to the Lord. I got this chance to be able to give somebody a Bible. I got this chance to talk with so-and-so. I got, what did you get to do? You know what you do? You memorialize it. You go, that was pretty awesome. You say, what'd you do? You grabbed a rock. You picked up a stone. And all you're doing is putting it in a place. At the end of the day, you grab that stone, you just set it down, and you go, hey, that's what I got to do today. And some days, you get to do some awesome things, like go to Point Hope, Alaska, and help out a missionary. You get to go to India. You get to go to over to Croatia. You get to go down to Mexico. You get to go up to Canada and go ahead and work in somebody else's church just for a little bit. You get to go and just do something. Help out with a VBS. You get to help out with a teen camp. You get to help out with whatever. Whatever's going on. And you know what you get to do? I got a rock. I just picked up a rock. I'll just take it back to where I lodge. How do you like that? So what are you doing? Just building a memorial. Of remembering all the things that I got to do. All the privileges. You know, it was a privilege. These 12 guys, that's a lot of work picking up a rock and just carrying it. If you gotta pick up a rock that's big enough to throw on your shoulder to carry, it's heavy. That's just all I can think. That's heavy. And you're carrying it and you're walking with it, and you're getting tired of walking with it, and you gotta do the switch shoulders real quick so you can get it and so you can keep walking, right? You know, and you're walking for a while longer until you get to where you're going to stop for the night. And then you finally get to put that down. It was a lot of work, but you know what they got to sit there and go? God let me pick up a rock. That doesn't seem very impressive. Until your children go, why'd you carry that rock? Why'd you put in all that work? Why'd you bother doing that? Oh, because God asked me. Because God asked me. The God of the universe asked me to pick up a rock. So I picked up a rock and I just moved it. That seems like a dumb command. Yeah. Except you didn't get asked to pick up a rock. Think about this now. I don't know how many million Israelites are about to cross into the land of Canaan to take it. But out of all of those people, only 12 of them got asked to pick up a rock. You don't think that was special? Yeah, but that's just a menial task. Yeah, but they got asked. They were ready and they got asked. And God said, I'll take you. How about you do that? And they said, I'll pick up a rock for you. By the way, maybe the problem you don't get asked is because you won't do the menial task. It doesn't mean much to anybody else, but it means something to you if you could pick up a rock. And just go ahead. You know what we do? We remember the times when God got to do something through us and with us, and we got to just give Him some honor and some glory and just watch Him do something amazing. Have you ever gotten a rock? Have you ever picked up a stone and just carried it a little ways and then set it down and said, Lord, let me do that just for Him? But for the record, I really, really hope you don't only have one. You know, the rock he's talking about here, they leave at Gilgal. And the job of that rock, of course, is to memorialize it. If your children ask, what mean ye these stones? Then you can tell them that it was God that had us cross the Jordan and what He did all the way back to Egypt and all the things that God has done and how amazing He is to deliver us and to give us this land and to take care of us. And that's what the rocks were for at Gilgal. You know, Jacob, he kept setting stones up. I think he has five of them. If I counted them all right and I didn't accidentally double one up, I think he's got five stones, five pillars that he sets up of stones to remember certain places. We all know it. We sing about it, right? Song number 26, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. So what's that? That's a reference to Samuel setting up a pillar of stones to remember that the Lord is his helper. And the deliverance there in Samuel chapter, chapter 7. You know, Joshua doesn't stop, by the way, with these stones right here. A couple of these are really sad, but they are memorialized. Joshua chapter 7. The children of Israel, right, have gone. They've already conquered Jericho. You get to Joshua chapter 7. And Joshua chapter 7, the children of Israel go ahead and simply try to go up against Ai and they fail, right? And we understand it's the sin of Achan. The sin of Achan shows up and they're going to go ahead and have to bring judgment against him. And you get down toward the end of the chapter here, around verse number 26. Verse 25, they stoned them with stones. Verse 26, and they raised over him. Now he's already dead. Achan's dead, right? Everything's taken care of. What do? They raise over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. This isn't the greatest of pillars and memories, but don't you have some memories where you failed? And isn't it a warning to everybody else? Don't you use that as a warning to your children? Hey, don't fail like I failed right there. Don't lie to God. Don't try to deceive God. Don't try to take from God. Don't try to... You say, why? You remember that heap of stones over there? That valley of Achor? That's where Achan died. Look over at chapter 8. They do take Ai in chapter 8. And when they get done, he goes ahead and he hangs the king. And verse number 29. The king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raised thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Wow, that's... Say, what's that a reminder of? That's a reminder of God can bring judgment and rescue. And if you don't have Him, you won't have a victory. They went into little Ai and they failed. But right here they had a victory. Why? Because God was with them instead of against them. That's a good memory. It's a good memory. That's a stone there. That's a wonderful victory. Look over at Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24. Now I won't read the whole chapter. This is where Joshua says to the people, right? He stands before them and he says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, right? And you get down to verse number 24. The people finally replied, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. What's that? He just set up a stone so they'd remember the promises they made to God. That'd be a pretty good deal. You remember some promises you made? He goes, that's a witness. Why? Just so you keep your promise. Every time you looked at that rock, you know what you'd find? Oh, I better stay with God. I promised Him I would. So what do those stones do? Oh, the stones just go ahead and remind you. The memories. And you know what you do? You just keep adding another stone to that pile. You just pick up another one and add it to the pile of stones you've picked up over the years and the memories you have. And you know, the trouble we have is we can't also just sit there and rely on the stones we've already gained. We remember them and we keep them in memory, because at times you get down the road, you know what you find? You find that troubles come and trials still come and the problems are still there and the failings are still there. And you look back and you go, yeah, I remember that rock though. That one, the Lord got me on that one. He was faithful right there. And He had asked me. And I know His promise right there. And I know He was with me in those victories. And I know He's sustaining me. And I know that if I go against Him, I'm going to be in trouble. And I better stand with Him. And I know all those things. And I know them because of the rocks I've already been able to pick up myself. And the rocks that we've already seen. And the ones we've already set in place. And we know those ancient landmarks we're not supposed to get rid of. And so we've got them all piled up there. We've got them in place. And when anybody asks us why we believe God, we can tell them. Anybody ask why we have confidence that God's going to deliver? Why we have confidence that God's going to sustain us? Why we have confidence that God can go ahead and protect us? Why we have confidence that God is going to provide? Why we have confidence that eternal life is real and that we're going to have it forever and ever? Why we can have confidence that God would forgive me again and take me and use me? Why we have confidence? Because I've got all these stones. And I look around at a constant remembrance of how great of a God that I have and how wonderful He's been. Amen. And then Paul goes, just remember though, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Say, what's he telling me? That there's another stone to go grab. You don't have to be content with the number of stones you've got now. You can go ahead and get another one. You can go ahead and say, hey, you know, I know the Lord's done that. And I know I got a chance to do this. And I know this is pretty amazing right here. I know how wonderful it is. But, you know, if the Lord asked me to, I'd walk right back down in that Jordan. And I'd get right to the place those priests' feet were. And I'd grab one more rock. Because God has been so good to me. And I'd gladly pick up one more. If I could just do one more thing for Him. Don't be content with the stones you've got. Ask the Lord for one more task. Lord, is there anything else I could do for you? Even if it's just picking up a rock, I'll take that job. Maybe nobody else will take that job, but I'm ready to take a job. I'm ready to do something. Oh, well, it's not glamorous. It's not good enough for me. Well, then you're too good for the God of heaven. Because whatever He asks, that's what you should do. The tasks we've been given may seem simple. It may seem real easy to go, well, you know, all He asked me to do today was pray and to read and to go ahead and witness, and I'm just going to go about my day today. Okay, pick up your rock. Is that all He asked? Well, okay, grab your rock. Put it on your shoulder, carry it for the day. Say, yeah, but it doesn't seem that glamorous. But it's what He asked. It's what He asked. By the way, if you get used to picking up what you have to do today, every day, it's a whole lot easier to pick up a bigger rock when He asks you to do a bigger task. If we'd be faithful in the least, we'd be called upon to do much. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for you and I just to grab some rocks out of the bottom of a river. Take them where He told us to take them. Set them down where He told us to set them down. And go get the next task He asks us to do. Let's go ahead and stand. He does all of that to remind us, hey, there's another task for you. Hey, remember, I'm always asking. I'm always looking. I always want to do something more. What mean ye, these stones? Oh, that's where the Lord did that for me. And that's where I got to do this. And that's where, and it's not braggadocious. It's not you bragging about how great you are and how wonderful it is. It's going, hey, the God of the universe is willing to use me even to do the least of things. And I'm ready to do those things. I trust Him. And there may be giants where I'm about to go, but I'll carry a rock over there because that's where He wants me to be. Would you be willing to pick up just one more stone? I don't know how long we got. Maybe you don't even know what you should do. Maybe you don't even know what the next task is. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you preparing? Are you getting stronger? Are you getting your walk with the Lord as close as you can get it so you're ready for the next rock, that next stone to put up on your shoulder and go, all right, I got that one. Father, I do pray You would bless our time. Bless the invitation. Father, we love You and we pray You would get the praise and the honor and the glory. What a wonder it is. Lord, I don't know if anybody here is lost. Father, I pray if they are, I pray they'd come to the Savior tonight. I know I didn't talk much about it, but I know that Jesus Christ is willing to save. And if You would touch their heart, help them to know they need a Savior, and they'd come and we'd get to answer their questions and show them out of a Bible how they can know their sins are forgiven. But Father, once again, I pray You'd help us to do the next task, Father. Help us not be content with just what we've got right here. Help us to press forward for the prize, the high calling of God. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.